It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Intuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up, bitches? You know what today is, Murray?
2 days till vacation?
Cats away, the mice will play. That's what it is, Murray. Cats away, the mice will play. Felger Free here on Felger and Maz on this re-entry Monday, 617-779-0985. As usual, or typically on re-entry Mondays, we... We bounce around all over the place. Oh, and by the way, Jim Murray's alongside. Tim McBone is here to give us headlines. So I'll check in with him periodically. Let me just say quickly, McBone, one of my missions here in the next couple of days is to get you, my friend, to come out of your shell.
All right.
Okay, we got to get you to come out of your shell.
He started to a lot recently. You got to listen to the weekends.
Yeah, we need more.
I can do that.
I want to pop that thing open like a pod. Like I want you to come out of there like an alien body, McBone. That's what I want.
It's a nice visual. All right.
Okay, 617-779-0985. I said typically on a re-entry Monday, we cover everything for the weekend. And, you know, that can be all over the place, depending on what has happened. In this particular case, we're going to be largely Patriots today. We will touch on the Red Sox as well during the program. I have a couple of thoughts on things from over the weekend, but it'll be largely Patriots. And we're going to start in the obvious place. Tom Brady spoke for the first time this camp over the weekend on Saturday. And the end was really the story. The end of Brady's media session was really the biggest thing that he said, although he did say a number of things that were interesting. I know to Murray in particular, myself as well. We'll see whether McBone come out of his pod and actually give us something really from the core. But I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart. The end of the interview that Tom Brady conducted on Saturday was from the question from Ben Volen is really what evoked a response from Brady and, frankly, ended the media session entirely. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Tom, when Julian tested positive, a lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. Just what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair?
I have no comment. That's just ridiculous.
Tom,
I'm out.
See you guys.
So Brady just stormed off. I'm out. Was asked about Alex Guerrero and the connection that people made from Edelman to Alex Guerrero in the wake of the news that Edelman had been suspended for a game. Obviously, the appeal was subsequently denied. And Brady was asked whether those connections between Edelman and Guerrero were fair or unfair, and Brady stormed off. So, Murray, let's start with you. What was your feeling on that?
I mean, it was a fair question to ask, much like Dan Shaughnessy's question to Bill Belichick about benching Malcolm Butler in Super Bowl 52 last week was a fair question to ask. But are you surprised at the answer, that it was that abrupt, that he got frustrated by it?
I am a little surprised at the answer, yes.
I'm not. What the hell do you expect him to say?
Okay, so you just thought he would act the way he did after having months and months and months to know that the question was coming. Or in the case of the suspension to Edelman, maybe weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it could have been a little more canned and something that would have sounded like a press release. But at that point, and I think it was I agree with what Zoe was saying earlier today when those guys were talking about it. I think what you got there was more frustration of how he's practiced thus far, because I was down there and I showed up and he's, you know, we've heard talk of rust, and it certainly showed on Saturday too when he throws a horrendous interception in the back of the end zone. He tries to force a ball to Gronkowski. It's picked up by Daron Harmon. So I don't think he liked the question. That's obvious. But I also think what you're getting there is, you know, residual after effect of some frustration from how he's practice so far.
Right, because you're hearing a lot of reports out of there, Murray, right, that Brady has been quote-unquote rusty.
Right.
And it's not just Phil Perry at NBC Sports Boston, by the way, who is saying this. Okay, and we'll get to more of that a little bit later in the hour. But just quickly, let's give you an early exam here, McBone. Brady's comments over the weekend. What was your gut reaction?
No, for me, I thought it was a totally valid point or a valid question from Volan. It's the first time Brady's talked since, you know, the Edelman suspension came out. Remember last time he talked, it was like 5 minutes after when that news broke. But I didn't expect anything different from Brady. And, you know, just the relationship between Guerrero and Brady himself, like, I'm not sure you could handle that any differently. Like, the relationship that they have in terms of him not only being his trainer, but I think the godparent to one of his kids, right? I think he's supposed to act disgusted, and that's kind of the walk off. Like, I think that's the way to handle it if you're Brady.
Okay, so there are a couple things to me that stuck out. Okay, a couple things to me. First of all, and this is the more boring of the two, so let me get it out of the way. Oh, Belichick and Brady, the Patriots can't get the offseason behind them fast enough, can they? They can't get it behind them fast enough. Belichick comes in. I'm not here. Murray?
I'm not here to talk about 2007, 2008, 2010, 2004, 2009. It's like, all right, we get it. Okay, you're on to 2018.
He did. All he did was mumble about past years. He did. He mumbled incessantly.
I'm not here to talk about 2000, 2003, 2004, 2017, 2016. Okay, all right. It's on to 2018. We get it, Bill.
So then Brady comes in, and Brady wants to get it behind him too, right? All right, I'm here. I'm in camp. I showed up early, according to him. Maybe not according to Bill. But here we go. Time for football, blah, blah, blah. Let's go. And he's getting the questions from the offseason, which, see, unlike, and Murray, I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, you're more of a Brady guy than I am. I'm not. I don't hate Brady. I know people think I do. I dislike the new Brady. I mean, I liked him better when Brady was a team guy who didn't act bigger than the team. Now it feels to me he is this corporation who acts bigger than the team, and it bugs the crap out of me. I can't stand that. I mean, I don't like that when any athlete in town does it, whether it's Tom Brady or everyone else. So clearly, they can't get this thing behind them fast enough. And Edelman, too, and we'll get to him later, too, saying, you know, that's in the past, over and over and over again about his drug test, stealing the line from Belichick. So that's number one. But number two, with Brady, Tommy girl, you get your feelings hurt? Is that the deal? Oh, gosh, come on. Could you be a bigger baby storming off when you got a question you knew that was coming? You couldn't do better than that. Like, that was Brady's response after all of that. Now, look, I've heard different people say maybe Volan didn't ask the question in the best way. And according to the transcript, okay, the exact question from Ben Volan was, when Julian tested positive, a lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. What's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair? Okay, do you think it's fair? And I don't know, maybe that's a little leading. A lot of people connected it to Guerrero, and Brady can sort of look at that and say, well, I didn't connect it to Guerrero. I mean, who else is connected to Guerrero other than the media? So I understand that point of view. I do. Nonetheless, Brady has barely shown up over the summer. Nobody locally has had the chance to really talk to him. He's talked to Jim Gray. He's talked to Oprah. He's done the circuit. He's been on a boat in Monaco. So now he finally shows up, and people are still harboring thoughts and questions of the end of last season and then the summer. None of that stuff has gone away yet. And particularly at the beginning of camp, I think it's almost standard for these questions to be asked when everyone shows up. You sort of try to close the book on last year, and the Patriots won't even engage on the topic. And Brady in particular, again, I thought acted like a baby. He storms off, what, because he didn't like the question? You didn't know that one was coming?
So how would you have liked him to answer it, then?
Okay, here's what I would say if I'm Brady. Hey, look, I can't control what you guys do. All I know is that I have the utmost faith in Alex Guerrero. He has served me well. You guys can draw whatever connections you want to draw. I don't draw those connections. And to the best of my knowledge, we've done nothing wrong. Okay? Like, and so the other thing is, I wonder, is he sort of leaves it out there a little bit, maybe a lot, for you to continue to look at Guerrero and wonder about what's going on there. And again, this relates to Edelman. And so there's a lot of ground to cover. We'll get to all of this. But I know that, you know, there are a lot of people who want to just give Brady a pass and let him walk. Like, no big deal. Brady doesn't have to answer the question. And I cite Ty Anderson, who writes for our website. I was just talking to Tim Staskowitz, who runs our website. Ty tweeted this over the winter, or over the weekend. I'm sorry. Tom Brady was being interviewed as Tom Brady, quarterback of the New England Patriots, not Tom Brady, business partner of Alex Guerrero. If media wants to ask about TB12 Center and Guerrero methods, I'm sure they have a PR group. Many others have done work to get that story. Is that a fair statement in terms of Brady not answering the question?
No. I mean, come on. Like, it's perfectly fair to ask that question. I had no problem with that. And he certainly should have been more prepared for it, but I don't know what kind of answer you were going to get regardless. Of course, something like that, I think, was going to piss him off. But no, come on. Brady the quarterback and Brady the businessman that is the, you know, the face of TB12, I think it's fair to ask anything about that, considering that he's using it to get ready for the season, and he's using, you know, those methods and other players using those methods. It's perfectly fair to ask him about anything that's TB12 related and Alex Guerrero related.
I mean, Murray, especially given all the tension and stress over Guerrero and him being around Foxborough or being around the team. Okay. And again, like, you know, I it's amazing to me how this thing has gotten so twisted in a lot of ways too. Like, the idea now that there were people saying, well, Guerrero's been seen on site in Foxborough. Guerrero was never asked to leave, not at home. He's allowed to be there for Brady. He's just not allowed to treat other players there. He can still treat Brady in the locker room at Gillette Stadium. He was never banned from the facility. That's not what happened. He's just allowed to treat only Brady there. Other guys, if they want to see him, have to see him outside of the facility, including Gronk. But Guerrero has been a point of contention going all the way back to the Wickersham story and really before then. So Tom Brady shows up at camp on Saturday after blowing off all the optional stuff all summer. He only went to the mandatory stuff, the mini camp. That was it. He shows up and he thinks he's not going to get a question about Alex Guerrero when his buddy Jules was popped for four games for PEDs. Like, was he really that offended by that question? How can you be in the league for 20 years like Brady has been and played through what he's played through, understood what he, you know, gone through some of the stories and controversies he's gone through, and then get upset at that question at training camp? So Murray, I don't know, maybe you're right. Maybe he's upset with his level of play, right? Again, and we'll get to that here shortly too, because with Brady, maybe this all ties in together.
I think that's part of it. I don't think that's all of it.
Oh, but he did. He acted like a little girl. He did. Tommy girl. Oh, that's so sorry. Brady apparently clearly is used to getting his ass kissed all the time, whether it's by his sisters, his father, his parents, whatever. He's the golden child in his own household, and he's been the golden child since he came here. So Brady's used to getting his ass kissed all the time. So now he shows up in camp after blowing everything off all summer, and he gets upset that someone asked a question. What? Because Oprah would have asked it in a nicer way, or Jim Gray would have? I mean, come on. Really? So look, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's maybe the best athlete I've ever seen. He's the Jordan of his sport. But that was bullcrap. That was absolute baby two-year-old kind of crap. The good news is I think the Patriots want to actually focus on football, which we knew they could do. Okay, so they want to put it behind them, and I think that that's a good sign that maybe they're all on the same page in that regard. Maybe the actual football can bring them together. But the way he walked off, I'm out? Oh, you big baby. Please.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh is back, and I think maybe that surprised some people. How excited are you to have him back? And yeah. Did you play any role in sort of getting in his ear and saying, stick around?
I think
Josh and I have had a great relationship for 18 years, and you know, he's one of my best friends. You know, I love working with him, and we've got a very special relationship that I cherish, and it's kind of been that way for a long time.
Did you talk to him at any point during that? I know you're getting ready for a game, but Did you talk to him at any point during that period where it looked like he was signed and sealed and delivered, Andy?
I always talk to him about everything, and like I said, he's a great friend of mine. So, you know, I love him. I love his family. I mean, we're very close. You work together with someone for that long. You have a great rapport and relationship, and, you know, I'm happy he's on our team, happy he's coaching me, and, you know, I want to go out there and do well by him.
Again, that's Tom Brady from over the weekend, this time talking about Josh McDaniels. And that was, I think that was Mike Giardi
of
NBC Sports Boston. The two questions, again, you heard them. How excited are you to have Josh McDaniels back? And did you play any role to get in his ear and say, stick around? And then did you talk to him at any point during that period where it looked like he was going to Indianapolis? And Brady gave, you know, thoughtful, really just raving about McDaniels in those answers. And I know, Murray, this struck you really is the most interesting thing he said on Saturday.
Yeah, this was way more interesting to me than the quote-unquote storm off at the end.
And why?
Well, because we didn't get an emphatic no. He's straight up asked by Mike Giardi, did you play any role? Were you instrumental in the return of Josh McDaniels this offseason? And it wasn't an emphatic no, as you just said. It was really Brady gushing about his 18-year relationship with Josh, his friendship, what he's meant to him as a coach. Some of those quotes, I love him. We have a very special relationship. I love his family. He's one of my best friends. There's no way he would ever describe Bill Belichick that way. There's no way, not at this point.
So since you brought that up, Murray, hold the thought for 1 second. He was also asked about Belichick, Brady was, his relationship with Bill, specifically after the off season. Okay, here's that answer.
Tom, what was your take on any of the turmoil or the rumor of turmoil that you guys had in the off season between yourself, Mr. Kraft, and Bill Belichick?
I have no thoughts.
Is this off season any different for you, Tom, with the approach that you took?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had, you know, more time, you know, with my family, but I also, you know, spent a lot of time doing football, so.
I have no thoughts.
And the reason we left the second question in is because Brady's absence, I believe, was Belichick related. Okay? No, Bill, that's it. You're a pain in the ass. I'm only going to be there when I have to be there. The rest of the time, the optional stuff, you're on your own. Screw you. Because I think it's all related to Bill. But it's really that first question. You're right, Murray. Maybe I screwed that up. What was your take on any of the rumors of the turmoil you guys had in the offseason between yourself and Bill Belichick? I have no thoughts. Four words. I have no thoughts.
So he obviously doesn't find it as ridiculous as the question about Alex Guerrero and his potential tie to Julian Edelman. You know, that one he gets mad about. If there was nothing going on, well, Tom feel the same way? I feel like that you would get more of that type of response, like a pissy type response of like, oh, no, that's ridiculous. I don't know what you're talking about. Instead, it's, I have no thoughts.
I mean, again,
it's like, pretty telling.
What has Brady spent any time at all preparing for camp whatsoever, even whether it's the media sessions or the football? Any of it? Like, he didn't know these questions were coming. What did he think he was going to get asked? He gets asked about Bill, about the relationship and the reports of the turmoil between Bill and Brady. Four words. I have no thoughts. He gets asked about McDaniels, and it sounds like this.
Josh is back, and I think maybe that surprised some people. How excited are you to have him back? And Did you play any role in sort of getting in his ear and saying, stick around?
I think Josh and I have had a great relationship for 18 years, and you know, he's one of my best friends. You know, I love working with him, and we've got a very special relationship that I cherish, and it's kind of been that way for a long time.
Did you talk to him at any point during that? I know you're getting ready for a game, but Did you talk to him at any point during that period where it looked like he was signed and sealed and delivered, Andy?
I always talk to him about everything, and like I said, he's a great friend of mine, so. You know, I love him. I love his family. I mean, we're very close. You work together with someone for that long. You have a great rapport and relationship. And, you know, I'm happy he's on our team. Happy he's coaching me. And, you know, I want to go out there and do well by him.
Boy, that's a long way of saying, yep.
It is. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Again, just as you go through it, Great relationship. One of my best friends. Love working with him.
Love his family.
Very special relationship that I cherish. I talk to him about everything. Great friend of mine. Love him. Love his family. Very close. Great rapport and relationship. Happy he's coaching me and I want to go out there and do well by him. What about Bill? I have no thoughts.
Yeah, so that's the thing that I found way more interesting and far more telling. So yes, he was extremely instrumental in bringing Josh McDaniels back, and it's because I think he wants a buffer, so he deals with him, and he doesn't deal with Bill.
Oh my gosh, it's just comical when you contrast the two. Really? It's
like, I love him. We have a very special relationship. I love his family. He's one of my best friends. How do you think your relationship is with Bill? I have no thoughts.
It is. It's hysterical, isn't it? It's like you couldn't make it more obvious how you feel about the two guys. Let's take a couple of calls. Pete's in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys, you know, after seeing that the other day, Tom Brady, in all honesty, the way he deals with the media now reminds me exactly of the way LeBron James does. There's really no difference. They answer the questions they want to answer. They give you long answers when they want to. And like LeBron in the NBA Finals, just got up and walked away when he didn't hear the question, when he didn't like the question. And Tom's doing the same thing. The only difference is, guys, you know, I don't know what Brady expects. If you're going to use the media to promote your product, when you have an issue, you just got to sit in front and deal with it. And he's not.
I mean, look, Pete, I just think it's the most basic rule. You expect the bad with the good. And I think Brady knows that. Like, I am a little surprised that he didn't see it coming. Or at least he acted like he didn't see it coming.
Well, especially after everything that happened with the deflated footballs from, you know, 4 years ago, whatever it was now. Like, he should know that, you know, most of the media is a bunch of vultures and they're going to ask the tough questions. They're not there just to kiss his ass. He had to have expected it. So I don't know. So that's where I think maybe it was the frustration of the day and how he's practiced so far. Maybe that's what's getting to him and he just wasn't thinking clearly. And that's why he was like, the hell with this. No, I'm out. You know, so he should have expected it, though. You're right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Jason's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Mari, you're changing your tune a bit. I called in a little earlier because I wanted to call you a hypocrite, but now you're kind of changing your tune because you wanted Bill to be asked about Malcolm Butler till it was dying day.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's okay that Brady, it's okay because he threw a few interceptions. He doesn't have to answer the question. Well, how about him being asked about Guerrero till his dying day?
Oh, no, it's fair to ask him.
Into him but.
It's certainly fair to ask him. The same for Bill. I don't expect an answer from either of them. Like, that's the thing. Like, this kind of, fake outrage that I'm hearing collectively from, I understand, like, you would like him to be a little bit more polished with an answer like this, Maz, but, like, for people to be like, oh, I can't believe this, like, come on. Like, of course you can believe this. You're not going to get a real answer out of him on a question like that. And the same with Belichick when he's asked about Butler. I know that. I still want him to be peppered with that question. And for those of you that still want Brady to be peppered with this question, too, it's a fair line of questioning, considering how he's aligned himself with Alex Guerrero and how shady that guy has been in his past.
So I know you'll find this stunning, Murray. I don't view it as a perfect apples-to-apples comparison. Right, because in the case of Belichick and Butler, it was there for everybody to see. Belichick didn't play Butler, wouldn't explain why. Like, they lost the game. There was a direct cause and effect there. There is still nothing that proves that Guerrero was responsible for Edelman. Right? You follow me the difference?
Yeah.
Bill was responsible for Butler not playing. There's no gray area there. So to me, the two are a little different. But again, Brady couldn't see that coming. He didn't think he was going to get asked about Guerrero after Edelman got popped for four games. Shaughnessy wrote about it. People have been talking about it. So what? Tom, he doesn't want to engage in any discussion about what? Speculative stuff? But if you ask him how he's been able to play his career for this long, he'll talk about Guerrero ad nauseum. And so I just think, you know, to me, again, I'm surprised that Brady would get caught off guard by that or seemingly get caught off guard by it. Or take such a two-year-old approach to it. Because he did. He acted like a little girl. Acted like a little baby. I'm out, guys. I'm done. And just stormed off. Like a little brat. And to me, that's sort of what he's acted like now for a long time. I love the Brady of old. I love the guy that put the team first. Didn't act bigger than the team. I love that guy. We all did. This guy's not the same guy.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
he looks okay. He's shaking off some rust, Steve. I don't think it's the same as I would say, like, you know, that I've seen in past years. There have been some passes that have been missed. Do I think he can bridge the gap and be the Brady that's good enough to win the AFC and compete for a Super Bowl? Absolutely. But I think it's fair to say you see a little bit of a difference, probably based on the fact that he wasn't working with some of these receivers in the spring.
That's Mike Reese of the Worldwide Leader. And I thought that was interesting. I ran into Mike last night over at Sports Final at Channel 4. He and I both contribute to that program. And so that's Reese talking about how Brady has looked in these workouts, Murray, to your point, that you think Brady's frustration boiled over at the end of that press conference, in part because he hasn't looked great at the start of this camp. Okay, and again, nobody's saying that that means anything with regard to the regular season, but Brady did skip the offseason workouts, the OTAs, the optional workouts. He showed up only for the mini camp. Now he's in camp with a whole new cast of receivers, really. Again, Edelman and Gronk are there, certainly, as is Hogan, but there are new people, a lot of new guys there. And it doesn't look right yet. Not that that should be all that shocking, but it doesn't look right yet. And you have Mike Reese saying that Brady looks rusty. So we played Phil Perry for you at the end of last week, that saying effectively the same thing. And that was on Friday, I think. And Perry repeated something to that effect over the weekend. Now Reese is saying it, that Brady looks rusty. And so I just think it's worthwhile, too, to get Brady's assessment on overall how he feels at the beginning of this camp relative to some other ones. Here is what Brady said on whether or not he's trying to catch up now.
Tom, because you weren't here for the offseason workouts, are you maybe behind where you would normally be with your receivers right now?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have a long time. We got a lot of work to do. You know, we do the best we can every day to get the work in where we can and, you know, try to go out there and have a great year.
Murray, do you believe that Brady's behind?
I mean, to his standard, probably, yeah. Because I think, you know, when he answered that question, he was a little, I don't know, he sounded a little bit of I think that there was some detectable frustration there. And when I was down there, and look, and I was only, you know, going on the assessment from those that are down there every day, like Phil Perry. And when he said that to Zoe and Beetle when they were there on Friday's practice, like, there was rust. That was his word, that he's looked rusty. I was down there Saturday to do the Saturday show. And when I walked in, you know, before I got on the air, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this. They're in the 11-on-11s here. And Brady threw a pick that was horrendous. It was a forced ball to the back of the end zone that got intercepted by Daron Harmon. I was like, oh, well, maybe that's some of the rust right there. So maybe it is the fact he didn't show up to the OTAs catching up to him. Maybe it's age, too. You know, he is going to be 41 this week. And typically when you see these guys, even if they're the all-time greats, they fall off a cliff. It just happens like that. So maybe it's age, too. That would be the bigger concern to me. Rust comes off. Age? That ain't going away.
So, Murray,
41 this week.
So I wasn't down there, obviously, over the weekend. You were. Who was the ball intended for in that?
Gronk.
Oh, it was Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if it's one of the new guys, maybe that's different. And so I'm just going to ask you, again, what about the receivers? In other words, is this factoring into his frustration,
Oh, maybe.
Too? I mean, again,
he stayed, he went to the side and worked with Jordan Matthews, who's now hurt. Apparently, he's going to be out a few days.
But hurt a hamstring.
He worked one-on-one with Jordan Matthews after the practice for a little bit, too. So maybe they're trying to build up a rapport there. Maybe he likes him already. I don't know. But, you know, you have to expect that, too. A lot of new faces here, from Patterson to Matthews to some of these newer guys like Riley McCarron, you know, or, you know, practice squad type players like him. Like, look, it's going to be different there. This is my biggest concern, just in terms of the, you know, outside of the dynamic between him and Belichick and the Palace Q and all that, just from the football standpoint, I said it to you about a week ago, my biggest concern going into this season is that depth at wide receiver, especially that first month without Edelman.
Well, and as you said, again, you know, now you add the Matthews thing on top of it, Malcolm Mitchell, like all of a sudden it feels like they are getting thin there fast. Bob's in Marlboro. Bob, go.
Yeah, I was talking about Brady not answering the questions at the conference the other day, and I think Brady just doesn't want to answer it because.
Bob, you got to pay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm telling you that Brady won't answer the questions. It answers it's his private business. Do you have a private business, Mac?
Yeah, Bob, I have plenty of private business, but his private business isn't all that private, is what I would tell you. And again, to me, what's stunning is that it felt like he didn't anticipate the question. Like, what, somehow that question's out of bounds? whether you like the way that Volan asked it or not, and I don't have a problem with the way Volan asked it. I've just heard different people say, well, the question wasn't asked in the greatest way. Fine, whatever. But I don't have a problem with it. If you're going to throw your trainer out there and your lifestyle out there and you're going to market the whole thing and sell it to people, and then someone else who goes to him gets popped for PED use, if it were any other athlete, if it were Peyton Manning and use any receiver that Peyton Manning threw to over the years, Dwight Clark, okay? If Dwight Clark had been popped for PEDs and he was going to the same trainer as Peyton Manning, would people be asking the question?
Of course they would.
So let's not get ridiculous. Bob Zanisian, our buddy Bob, go ahead.
You know, you guys are jerks. First off, Maz.
Bob, there's a lot of people that would agree with you. Go.
Maz, how long have you, you were a beat writer for the Red Sox with the Herald and Globe?
About 15
years. I'm just curious.
15 years. 15-ish.
So you keep touching on how the questions are positioned and asked. Can you not insult me? Or at least the people that listen to the show that are Patriot fans. Let's dissect something here. First off, they asked Brady, and he's not frustrated because he's rusty, quote-unquote, because Jim Murray's down there drinking beers, watching them practice. This is what he's frustrated. Volan comes in and says, what was your take on any of the rumors of the turmoil? That's how the question's presented. But then the other question he asks is, you know, how excited are you to have Josh McDaniels back? So, come on, Tony, don't be a jerk and try to find something out of nothing. And by the way, it's very unfair to ask Tom Brady, a teammate, about another teammate's suspension and a positive result on results of a steroid abuse.
So, Bob, I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second because I don't understand your point entirely. Are you saying that one question was framed in a positive way and one question was framed in a negative way? Is that what you're getting at? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Did you just hear what I asked you?
No.
Well, all right. Maybe you should stop talking. Maybe that might help.
No, Tony, the thing is with the phone, as I tried to explain to you guys a few weeks ago, when you put somebody on hold now, they get muted the program feed, so he legitimately couldn't hear you.
Oh.
Trust me, I'd love to dump on Bob from Easton for just being a jerk, but he couldn't hear you once you put a caller on hold. They can't hear the programming feed.
Gotcha.
That's dumb. They got to fix that.
Yeah, they do have to fix that.
It's above my pay grade, Jim.
Sorry, Jimmy. Yeah, I know.
So Bob and Easton, here's what I would tell list. You. And in all seriousness, I love Bob and Easton, even though he picked on Murray last week.
Oh, it was very entertaining.
He did. He picked on Murray. But nonetheless, I do. I like Bob and Easton. I value Bob and Easton, in fact. I just, I'm sorry that you couldn't hear me, Bob. If you want to call back. We'll put you back.
That's
on.
One of us.
617-779-0985. When we come back, more from Brady.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
Janta.
Junta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Would you say getting away from the game a little bit more is actually maybe going to benefit in terms of your focus and readiness for camp?
I mean, football is very, very important to me. It always has been, and I love being out here with my teammates, so it's great. As you get older, you have different responsibilities, and I think that's just part of life, and everyone's got to deal with those responsibilities differently and what works for them. And, football is a huge part of my life. I love being here with my teammates and playing, and hopefully we can have a great season.
So again, Tom Brady over the weekend. It's a more generic or general comment from Brady. The whole idea of football being very important. On some level there, Murray, I can't help if this was Brady's way of just reminding everybody, listen, just because I wasn't here, don't think I care less. Like, I think he went out of his way to make that point. The family thing is still, over the top. I just don't think that that's the real reason. I think it was a message to Belichick. And because Brady's had family concerns for a long time now. It's not like he just became a father at age 40. So that part of me, but I do think he went out of his way there. Football's a huge part of my life. Just reminding everyone, don't think I'm any less committed than I have been in the past. But you tell me, do you think he is less committed?
No, not at all. No, and I don't read too much into the OTAs ended up, you know, him not being there, not working out with some of these new receivers. I don't think that that's going to be that detrimental to him on the field going forward. I know Mike has used the line. It can show, maybe it'll show up on the margins, you know, going forward. I don't. I think those practices are mostly useless, you know, so I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I don't think that his commitment is any less. I wish he would stop using the family thing, because that's an excuse that you look like an a-hole when you say, like, oh, come on, like, please, the family. But when you say that, you look like a jerk. So I think that's one of the reasons he does keep saying it.
Yeah, I don't think it's family related. I mean,
because he doesn't want to be around Belichick unless he absolutely has to be.
Yeah, he's shoving it down our throat with the whole family thing. And I don't doubt that, you know, Giselle on some levels in his ear. I think she's been in his ear for a while and he's probably getting tired of hearing it. And so, but I think it, you know, I mean, when she is there on the TB12 or the Tom versus Time Facebook documentary, at the end of it saying my husband wants to be appreciated. Well, then I think she's getting to the core of the issue. She's there on record now saying that he feels unappreciated at work. So
yeah, that's just her being his mouthpiece.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So like this idea that it's just to spend more time at home. I don't think that that's it. Bob's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey guys, your first segment, you made a comment, or actually you played a voice recording of Brady's feeling about Belichick, and we heard it. Then when you went to break, the very first break, and Tangway, I'm watching television by the way.
Okay.
Tangway comes on and he showed a paragraph of how Brady feels about Belichick, which was contradictory to what he did, and you reported earlier. You've got to look at it, because when you look at it, it paints a totally different picture.
Yeah. So Bob, listen, I'm just telling you what he said on Saturday in terms of that singular press conference. Okay. He was asked about Belichick and he was asked about McDaniels in separate questions, and his answers could not have been more different. Has Brady said positive things about Belichick in the past? Of course. He also did an interview with Jim Gray during the summer, and I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, if he could grab that. Jimmy, just let me know when you have it. Remember that he did an interview with Jim Gray over the summer. Okay. When he was asked about Belichick and playing for Belichick and the relationship with Bill, and here's what he said.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth. Look,
Okay, so again, Bob, you can believe whatever you want. And if I were you, I'd believe us and not Tangway. That's just my two cents. I mean, I think that's an easy one, but that's aside. So at other times in his career, has Brady said complimentary things about Belichick? Of course. Yes. The question is whether or not the relationship is now what it has been in the past. And I don't think it is. I mean, it's stunning. Murray, how many times do we have to play it? Jimmy, let's go back, if you would, to Brady number one. Okay. Brady was asked about the relationship with Bill Belichick. I didn't give you the specific question, too, although I think it's in there. Okay. What was your take on any of the rumors of the turmoil you guys had in the offseason between yourself and Bill Belichick?
Tom, what was your take on any of the turmoil or the rumor of turmoil that you guys had in the offseason between yourself, Mr. Kraft, and Bill Belichick?
I have no thoughts.
Is this offseason any different for you, Tom?
We can stop there, Jimmy. I have no thoughts.
I have no thoughts.
I have no thoughts. None. Zero. I have no thoughts. He could have very easily said, guys, look, I know this is getting a lot of attention, but Bill and I are good. We've always been good. He's the best coach. He could have said all the stuff he said about McDaniels. There was an opening there for him to say the same thing about Belichick. There was that opening. Then, as Murray pointed out, and to Murray, this was the most revealing part of the whole presser that Brady did on Saturday. He was asked successive questions about McDaniels and could not stop gushing about the guy. Oh, sorry, Jimmy. I thought you were going to play it.
And what the caller was referencing to, so in case you haven't seen this, there's this post from religionofsports.com in which Tom Brady is also an investor. And the question is, what do you remember most about your first training camp? Did a veteran take you under his wing? He talks a little bit about Bledsoe, Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, on and on. And he says, and Bill, I mean, I've been lucky enough to play for the best coach in the history of the game. Obviously, our relationship has changed over the years. Hint. But even back then, he was demanding and precise and expected a lot from all his players. That was very clear from the start. So what, just because I read this thing, which, by the way, this column from Brady talking about his 19th training camp reads like a damn press release. Everything's copacetic now. Everything's fine between these two. Like, please. I'll retweet this in case you haven't read it. It's eye-rollingly ridiculous, this column. Like, oh, God, this just reads. It reads like a boilerplate press release. Like,
right. And I'm sorry, Murray. Say what you said again at the beginning about whose site it is.
Religionofsports.com, of which Tom Brady is an investor.
Okay, so thank you. So it's Brady's site. It's an investment in it. Dave is in Lynn. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. I just got a real quick thought, and just it's going back to the Malcolm Butler, Bill Belichick situation. And it's, if you could get Bill to answer you, do you really think that he feels that not playing Butler cost him the game? And I would tell you he would tell you no. That's just my take, and I'll let you guys talk about it. Thanks.
Okay, so Dave, meaning in your mind, he would still defend the decision of Bench Butler. He hung up. But do you think Bill would admit now that it was a mistake, Murray?
No, you'll never get him to admit that's a mistake. Even if he still continues to get peppered with this question until the day he dies, which I would like, you'll never get the answer. He would never admit that that was a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think he would either. I don't think he would either. And Butler had some comments over the weekend. He did an interview with ESPN. We'll play those a little later in the show as well. Again, it's a re-entry Monday. But in this case, it's re-entry with a lot of Patriots stuff, just stuff coming from all over the place. Alex is in a car. Alex, what do you got? Alex, I'll tell you what, pal, your connection sucks. I'm going to put you on hold. Just sit right there. Don't go anywhere. We'll try to come back to you. Frankie's in Manchester. Go ahead, Frankie.
Hey, guys. Just to let you know, the only thing that's changed from this year to last year is that Brady doesn't have Jimmy G chomping at the bit to be a starter, okay? I think Brady is sitting back on cruise control and just taking it all in. He doesn't care. He just wants to go out there, throw a couple balls around. He doesn't have Jimmy G anymore.
I think we're screwed
as the Patriots.
I think he cares, but I would agree with you, Frankie, in that he doesn't have the same push that he's had the last, you know, three or four seasons. And I do find it very telling that if you look around the rest of the league, I saw a post today about Joe Flacco being in the best shape he's been in, and he's motivated, and it's the best Flacco's looked at camp in years. I wonder why. Oh, he's maybe getting pushed by a rejuvenated Robert Griffin III, or is Lamar Jackson, you know, now that they drafted him in the first round, is he threatened and losing his job? I would imagine he is. And the same in Pittsburgh. I read last week that big fat Ben Roethlisberger shows up leaner than ever. No one's ever really seen him. Oh, gee, I wonder why he was motivated to lose some weight. Oh, that's right, because the Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph and he's worried about losing his job. That push there, that's not there for Brady anymore. Is he worried about losing his job to Brian Hoyer? Please.
I mean, the Roethlisberger thing is comical. Again, unbelievable. No, you know, I take it back. Totally believable. As he's let himself get absolutely fat in the last couple of years, he's huge. And he got pissed off when they drafted Rudolph, who's the guy I wanted the Patriots to take, by the way. I just want to get that on the record, Murray, so that if and when that guy turns into a player, I can stand and say for once that I was right, because it doesn't happen all that often. As you know, Murray, I tend to be wrong more than I'm right, like most people. Nonetheless, really, it is. It's not shocking. All of a sudden, someone sees someone catching up on him, and they get their ass in gear a little bit. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a year Brady has. The Brady defenders are going to look at his spring so far. His summer camp. So far. I'm just conditioned in my head to say spring because of baseball, right? It's like I always think of the preseason as spring. Just years and years of conditioning. But they are going to look at Brady's start to camp and say, oh, it's nothing, no big deal, new receivers, a lot of variables, and they might be right. But after the summer and him blowing the stuff off, he needed to start better than he is. Otherwise, he's going to get the questions. And again, I would say that Brady's bringing it on himself. The questioning that Brady is getting, or if he's getting it at all, the commentary out there, whether it's Phil Perry or Mike Reese or us here on this show, saying Brady looks rusty, well, Brady brought that on himself by blowing off the summer. He did, by blowing off the spring and early summer. He brought that on himself, and so when he plays well, none of us will be surprised, because he will play well. But right now, it's hard to not connect those dots, and to me, you know, that's something that Brady absolutely is 100% responsible for.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.